Madam President, the proposal before us tonight provides $700 billion to buy illiquid assets from financial institutions. The stated goal of this scheme is to return confidence and liquidity to our credit markets. We did not get into this situation in a matter of days, Madam President, and we're not going to fix it with a piece of legislation quickly cobbled together in the back rooms of the United States Capitol. In fact, Madam President, this crisis has been years in the making. Over the last decade, trillions of dollars were poured into our mortgage finance markets, often at the direction of well-intended but albeit ill-conceived government programs. At first, the money backed conventional mortgages with standard down payments and properly verified incomes. Over time, the number of home buyers that met conventional loan requirements dwindled. In order to fuel the upward spiral, mortgage products became more exotic, requiring less of borrowers and involving more risk. Eventually, economic reality caught up with us. Housing prices stalled and then began falling. Many who bought homes with unconventional loans were unable to afford their rising payments. Because home values were dropping, they were unable to refinance, and delinquency rates skyrocketed. This trend has not yet abated, Madam President. Madam President, I have been a member of the Senate Banking Committee for over 20 years, in fact, 22 years. When I joined the committee, the savings and loan crisis was just beginning to unfold. And I just want to take a few minutes to remind my colleagues that it took nearly 10 years, five Congresses, three administrations, until that smaller, more contained crisis, which cost taxpayers nearly hundreds of billions of dollars, was finally resolved. Personally, I learned a few solid lessons from that experience, sitting on the committee with my friend Senator Dodd. I came to understand that bank management, bank capital, and sound regulatory policy does make a major difference. What I learned then has guided me ever since. For example, in 1995, I opposed the expansion of the Community Reinvestment Act, CRA, and the loosening of loan underwriting standards. My concerns were based on the simple fact that credit cannot be safely extended on any basis other than risk, and risk cannot be mitigated through social engineering. The appropriate allocation of credit is not political, it's based on merit. The CRA was an attempt to get around this inescapable fact, and it failed. I remind my colleagues tonight of this as we prepare to buy assets backed by the very same mortgages born of this flawed policy. Madam President, the free market didn't fail. The federal policies that created a false market did. In 1999, I opposed the Financial Modernization Bill. I did not think it provided a sufficient regulatory structure to oversee the financial system that it created. This was Graham Leach Bliley, you will know. In 2001, I became concerned about banking regulators' efforts to modernize bank capital standards through what is known as Basel II. While it's very important to update these standards, it appeared to me and others on the Banking Committee, Democrats and Republicans, that modernization was focused more on reducing bank capital levels than improving bank capital standards. I spent nearly 5 years on the Banking Committee trying to ensure, Madam President, that regulators produced balanced capital requirements that focused on safety and soundness, not the wishes of the banking industry itself. When I became chairman of the Banking Committee in 2003, I immediately became concerned with the financial health and the regulatory structure of the government-sponsored enterprises Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I did not think that the entities had sufficient capital, management controls, or regulatory oversight. I and others on the committee, were troubled about their size because their combined portfolios then amounted to nearly $2 trillion. In response to these concerns, we tried to pass tough GSE reform. Unfortunately, those efforts were rebuffed by the Democrats on the banking committee and on the floor of the Senate. Soon after, the GSEs went on a nearly $1 trillion subprime and alternate A mortgage-backed security spree. Madam President, $1 trillion again. Fannie and Freddie's greatest allies were those that advocated and at times demanded that the GSEs continue to facilitate subprime and alternate A borrowing. As long as they complied, real regulation was dead. The symbiotic relationship, in turn, fueled an already overheated market to grow even hotter. As the driving force in mortgage finance, the GSEs' purchasing effort also broke down when scant underwriting standards remained in the marketplace. Many, if not most, of the toxic assets that this taxpayer-funded bailout is designed to buy were originated in an atmosphere created by the GSEs and facilitated by their supporters right here in Congress. Madam President, over the last 5 years, we've also become very concerned about the regulatory oversight of the credit rating agencies, whose ratings were crucial to getting securities sold. When we looked at the system in place, we realized that it was dominated by two companies and that the regulatory structure provided no real oversight and actually prevented competitors from entering the market. Considering that the value investors placed on the ratings, I recognized that immediate legislative action was necessary to address the shortcomings of the oversight regime. We took that action, and the President signed it into law in 2006. But unfortunately, Madam President, it now appears even that effort came too late. The rating agencies provided investment-grade ratings on securities worth hundreds of billions of dollars. A large percentage of those ratings have since been downgraded. Some have been declared worthless. I remind my colleagues tonight that those downgraded securities also happen to make up the troubled assets that are now the focus of this bailout, too. Finally, Madam President, in 2007, last year, I publicly questioned the adequacy of the Securities and Exchange Commission Consolidated Supervisory Entity Program. This non-statutory program was put in place by the SEC to allow the five big investment banks to meet European regulatory standards without having to submit to the Federal Reserve supervision as provided in the Financial Modernization Act. It also allowed the investment banks, most of them are gone now, to reduce their capital requirements. Because I already thought that the 99 Act did not provide adequate supervision, I was troubled that the investment banks continued to chafe even at this minimal supervision. With their trillions of dollars in assets, global operations, and hundreds of thousands of employees, they were content to be, quote, regulated by a program with a staff of less than 20 people, and they vigorously lobbied the banking committee to keep it that way. These concerns crystallized when Democrats marked up legislation that would not only have codified the SEC's regulatory concoction, but also would have expanded the powers of investment banks, allowing them access to taxpayer-insured funds through ownership of insured depositories. I requested that the banking committee hold hearings to examine the structure in greater detail before we ratified that which the SEC created through regulatory fiat. Mr. President, once again, we did not. Instead, my colleagues on the other side of the aisle voted not only to codify the CSE program, but also to expand it. My Republican colleagues voted to reject it unanimously and argued for additional committee action. Today, as we speak, the CSE program is gone because our major investment banks have either gone bankrupt, merged, or become that which they fought so hard to avoid, bank holding companies supervised by the Federal Reserve. Madam President, I would like to point out to my colleagues that a large number of the assets that will be purchased under the Paulson Plan were either originated or held by Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley, or Goldman Sachs. They were all once regulated under the SEC's CSE program. Madam President, we did not get to where we are today by accident. It's a path that we chose.